good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to fly in the power of God's Word through the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here is your host, Glenda Linkus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and today's show is going to be about the world spiraling downward. I will never forget, as long as I live, those open visions around the end of 2008 about the famine that is coming to America. I had never been so shocked by anything that I saw in a vision. I had been busy traveling and working for 4 years, and I actually did not even know we were in the end times, and I'd been saved since 1996. And then I found out that there were other people close to me who had also seen visions of the famine, and in even more detail. Hopefully, when those people get saved, I can get an interview for this show sharing the details that they saw. But from then until now, I have watched events unfold in our world and marveled at how so many are like I was, not realizing how short time on earth really is that's left. But if you don't know the Bible, how would you know time is short now? You wouldn't. On today's show, I want to talk about some of the signs around us and how we know they are signs of the end quickly approaching. Someone posted on Twitter today about how fast the last week had gone by. Yeah, there's a reason for that. At least two, and I think three different times when I lived at the old house across town, and I lived there for 4 years, I remember the Lord telling me that He had accelerated time, and we could all feel it. I think He's looking forward to having us all home with Him as much as we're looking forward to going there. My friend John Morgan shared a link to Barna's most recent research last week, and I want to share some of that with you. If you want to read it in text form, go to barna.org. on the internet. They have done, over the past several years, 14,000 State of the Bible interviews with American adults and teens on behalf of the American Bible Society. Here's a question that they polled. Is America headed in the wrong direction or the right direction? I think that's pretty humorous. Anybody would even ask that. And they polled registered voters. 72% said the wrong direction. Only 28% said the right direction. I think it should be obvious to anyone we're headed in the wrong direction. But there are three major changes that are reshaping the landscape of our lives here. First, and I'm reading from their research, first, the steady rise of skepticism is creating a cultural atmosphere that is becoming unfriendly, sometimes even hostile, to claims of faith. In a society that venerates science and rationalism, it is an increasingly hard pill to swallow that an eclectic assortment of ancient stories, poems, sermons, prophecies, and letters written and compiled over the course of 3,000 years is somehow the sacred word of God. Even in just the few years Barna has been conducting State of the Bible interviews, the percent of Americans who believe that the Bible is just another book written by men has increased. So that's just sad, y'all. Second, as Gabe Lyons and the man who wrote this paper propose in a book, I guess, called Good Faith, the broader culture has adopted self-fulfillment as its ultimate measure of moral good. The shift that is underway moves authority from outside ourselves, like from the Bible, to within us. If y'all follow Wings of Prophecy, you know that today, June 22nd, 2016, there's a word that God gave us called His Own God. Here's what's happened. Man has become his own God. Now that is some scary stuff, y'all. That's worse than any horror movie you'll ever see on television. And in an article that Barna calls the end of absolutes, that's so true. Well said. America's new moral code. They write, Christian morality is being ushered out of American social structures and off the cultural main stage, leaving a vacuum in its place. And the broader culture is attempting to fill the void. Y'all know what the definition of evil is? The definition of evil is the absence of good. Think about that. And here's one that really scared me. Further down in this same article. According to a majority of American adults, 57%, knowing what is right or wrong is a matter of personal experience. Come on, y'all. And further down, the difference is even more pronounced when practicing Christians, 41%, are compared with adults of no faith, two-thirds of whom agree, 67%, that the only truth one can know is whatever is right for one's own life. Can y'all see where this is headed? Those very statements are just nauseating if you know God. Can I just say that? Okay, Barna.org if you want to read all the whole article. I just picked out certain parts. Okay. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. That's from the book of John. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. We will be hated for his name's sake, y'all. The word says we will, and we will. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you will speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father, which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father, the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Can you believe the nonsense in the media over garbage like, oh, it offends people if you say something like raising a family? That is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard in my life. I think they're offended that they have to be on the same planet as us, and I don't think we can help them with that. But that's another sign of the time we're living in. I think we are headed for a season where unisex looks and actions are going to prevail. Satan wants to take away the distinction between man and woman. He started that long ago. Look back in history and you'll see it. Look just at the 70s and you'll see a lot of it. He did his best to destroy families and femininity then, and he tried to emasculate the men. But you know what? God has a people who will refuse to play into his schemes. God has a people of women who will stay women, and men who will stand up and be men. Women who will teach the younger women, and men who will lead the young men into lives of honor, of courage, and of being men after God's own heart. So don't be afraid when you see the level of offense rise. We were told that this would happen. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. I was extremely disturbed by a documentary I saw on television in the last year. I think it was one that was in a series that was done by Morgan Spurlock about human-looking robotics. And I think they're being manufactured mainly in China, but I'm not sure. Some were being used as receptionists, greeters, or whatever in corporate offices. And, of course, there's great interest for military use, which I definitely think is better than sacrificing human lives. Using them to fill jobs would cost jobs, but it would also create jobs in robotics. Our world will change dramatically with human-looking robots running around for sure. But that wasn't the scariest part. I believe the Lord has shown me that these robots will be manufactured to be used sexually as well, and that many people will choose them over living mates. What an abomination to the Lord our God. And speaking of abominations, by the way, y'all, in March of 2012, the Lord told me that the unnatural use of anything is rebellion. And y'all know rebellion always brings a curse. That's what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. Earlier this month, I saw an internet headline that said Canada's Supreme Court had legalized some sex acts with animals. What? Leviticus 18:23, "Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto." It is confusion. Exodus 22:19, "Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death." Deuteronomy 27:21, "Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast." And all the people shall say amen. If you want to read the story, you can go to Snopes.com/Canada-legalizes-bestiality. Just another opportunity for animals to be abused and exploited. The article I read even said animal brothels were already in the works. It breaks my heart to think of animals being used in that horrible way. And for the people that will be involved in that who don't realize the curses that they're bringing down in their lives, you get a curse from something like that, y'all, and nothing in your life goes right. Nothing. Everything starts to go wrong, and they won't even know why it's happening. And then there was the documentary, I can't remember when I watched this one, that was about secret experiments on combining animal DNA and human in animal, and animal in animal. In more than one country, these are being done. Not sure why scientists think they can improve on God's designs, but anyway, around this time, there was a huge uproar over what was called the Montauk Monster, a very unfortunate creature of unknown origin that washed up on the shores of New York. One internet site I found showed pictures of 16 more strange creatures as well. One of the clinics was rumored to be up there in the far northeast of America on an island, I believe. Even today, there isn't any definite explanation how that creature got into the shore of New York and exactly what type of animal it was, because it was not a known breed. You know, tampering with God's creations has to be an abomination to Him. The image of man He created is sacred. He invented marriage between a man and a woman. That's sacred. I don't care who you are, you can't redefine marriage. You're not God. He ordained man's life would be a certain length. That's sacred because He spoke it. Genesis 6:3. "Then the Lord said, My spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. Everything God said and everything He designed, He did it for our benefit because He loves us. Anytime we try to change the natural use of a thing or the natural design of a thing, we are causing confusion. And we bring a curse upon ourselves, I think, y'all, either as individuals or as a nation or as a people or whatever the case may be. He had a reason for the way He did things. What if scientists invent a way for you to be young again, even forever? I'm 56 years old, y'all. I mean, it would be nice to feel young again. It would be nice to, you know, not have to worry about wrinkles and all that. But what if it required altering your DNA? Would you do it? Yeah. But what if it's a sin to do that? What if that's actually the mark of the beast? Come on, church. Y'all better think about this stuff before we come to the choice. Jimmy Evans talked about this on Daystar last year, and I've been thinking about it ever since I saw it. You know, mankind has gotten into big trouble with this kind of thing before. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The days of Noah were filled with all sorts of evil. Giants were having relations with women and spawning offspring. That was not God's idea. And the giant race did not survive. Why do you think that was? They didn't belong to God. They didn't have His help. I think this verse is a strong indicator of what is more of is coming. Revelation 20 verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." If this is not a falling away, y'all, like it's talking about here in 2 Thessalonians, I don't know what it is. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now, already is it in the world. It's in the world, y'all. It's all around us. According to scientist and futurist Ray Kurzweil, we will all be able to live like the Highlanders in about 20 years. I'm reading an article off the internet. Kurzweil predicts that with the rapid growth of nanotechnology, we will never die. The renowned scientist believes that we will soon have the technology necessary to halt and reverse aging. What an attractive prospect that would be. And here's a quote. I and many other scientists now believe that in around 20 years, we will have the means to reprogram our bodies, Stone Age software, so that we can halt, then reverse aging. Then nanotechnology will let us live forever. Ultimately, nanobots will replace blood cells and do their work thousands of times more effectively. What does the Bible say about the blood? The life is in the blood. So, now listen to this. Thinking about that, immortality is coming. I'll tell you that for a fact, and I'll tell you how we know, because it's in the Bible. Revelation 9:6, where it's talking about the bottomless pit opening. And that is happening to people that are alive on the earth in this verse, y'all. Revelations 9:6. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now, why would death flee from someone if they're alive on the earth? It's not that hard to go out and get yourself killed, is it? They can't die because their DNA has been altered. That's what I believe. How would you like to live out your worst nightmare and not even know that it was ever going to end? That's what's going to happen to them. The Lord told me once when he was talking about the end times that the people who refuse Jesus will be handed over to Satan alive on the earth. And then I found this verse and I was like, wow, that is wild. And I didn't even know they were studying immortality. The Bible tells us what is coming, y'all. And there's much more. There's so much more. And the Lord has told many of us that it will happen in this generation. I don't think we're very far off at all from it happening. What we will see is that the spirit of offense will increase. People will become increasingly offended over every little thing. We're already seeing that. Hatred towards Christians is going to increase. I think it's going to increase to the point that Christians will be openly killed, murdered in the streets. There may even be a bounty on us. You know, like, oh, well, you get so much. Or what I really think and what I've believed for many years that I've felt in my spirit is that when it gets to this point, that the bounty on the head of a Christian, because we will be so hated and because our government will not be Christian, will be that if you kill a Christian or if you turn a Christian into the government, that you get all that person's possessions. And that's going to turn family members against family members, believers against non-believers and whatever. Or non-believers against believers, whatever. Okay, so beheadings are going to increase because clearly Revelation shows that many people will be beheaded. Murder, because it is hatred, will continue to increase. Natural disasters are going to increase both in size and in frequency. That is the woman in travail verse. Like a woman in travail when Jesus is talking about the end times. Matthew 24:8, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. In other translations, not the King James, it says these are the beginning of birth pains. So it's like a woman in labor. The pains start out one way, and maybe they're an hour apart or 2 hours apart, and they get closer and more intense and closer and more intense. The natural disasters are going to happen the same way. They're going to be closer together. They're going to be bigger. They're going to be more intense. So we're going to see all of these things. And, you know, the time to draw near to Jesus is now. You may not have tomorrow. You may not even have tonight. You may go out someplace and not come back home, y'all. You may leave the house and not come back home. We don't know what's going to happen. Nobody is promised tomorrow. And the world around us is growing darker by the minute. And I love the way my friend John Morgan defines the darkness. He was studying Genesis chapter 1, and he said the darkness was like a form of chaos. The darkness and the chaos, you know, kind of dwell together. And, you know, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and God said, let there be light. and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So God divided the darkness and the chaos from the light, because the light was good and he didn't want the darkness to defile it. Right from the beginning, God put darkness and chaos in its place. And let me tell you something. He is coming back to do that again. Okay? He's coming back to put darkness in his place. I hope this show has been a blessing to y'all. I hope that you have a really, really blessed week. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas, 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.
Are there areas of your life where you just cannot seem to get the victory no matter what you do? Are you plagued by depression, poverty, anger outbursts, lust, or failure? Do you recognize a predisposition to commit the same sins committed by your forefathers? You could be under a generational curse or another type of curse. And without understanding, it is impossible to get free. The Bible says in Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It is important for us to get the knowledge that we need in order to get free in every area of our lives. I have compiled all the curse breaking series into one book called Loosed from Chains of Darkness, Destroying Curses Through the Power of the Cross. You can get Loosed from Chains of Darkness on Amazon.com. It lists prayers for at least 14 different curses, and there are bonus curses in there that I've not taught on before. Learn what the four types of curses are that were revealed to me and how to break each one. How to identify these curses in your lives and in the lives of those you love. Get Loose from Chains of Darkness, available at Amazon.com. Have you ever been betrayed by someone you love deeply? If you have, then you know betrayal by someone you love can be a life-altering experience. But did you know that every Christian must pass the test of absolute betrayal at least once in their walk if they want to go higher? No test hurts more or pulls more strongly on your emotions than when someone you love completely turns on you. Do you know how to pass this test? Through a revelation received from the Lord, I share in my book, The Judas Test, the good news about why betrayal visits us and how to pass this test when it comes your way. Don't let betrayal catch you by surprise. Be ready to pass the test. Read of biblical examples of various types of betrayal and learn what the scripture says about how to pass the test. The Judas Test, available on Amazon.com. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
Just how soon will Jesus return? There's a 2,500-year-old prophecy spoken to this generation of Americans that is directly connected to the Second Coming and is happening right now. Learn about it and a whole lot more in my new book, America, Isaiah is Warning, God's Judgment is Coming. Available where books are ordered and at americasjudgment.com. America, Isaiah is Warning.